Okay, audio's going.
Yeah, it's going. Should take a look.
At least there'll be some action on this side of the field now. The switched halves, and we're playing it against an academy team. I feel so sorry for our kids. So we've got a little girl playing as well with the boys.
Is it a bit of a, it's a mixed team then?
Yeah, it's under 13, but our players are very young. They're 12.
I was going to say, they don't look 13.
Yeah, but this is an academy team, so
Oh,
they get
okay.
big funding by the government.
Oh, okay.
Like millions. Like millions.
Millions.
Millions. Like 5 million a year. How much Google gets? 5 million a year? For this
This
team
academy
and
team.
yeah, this team in the black and white, and that's what your kid looks like. No comment. Let's go. Let's not be bitchy.
I mean, this has all been recorded.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. Delete.
It will be cut. Don't. Yeah. We won't
Don't
air
even show it
that.
to your editor. Just so it comes out and like, you know.
Yeah, on a reel or something.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna start by asking you to introduce yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, where do I look at you?
Yeah, you can look at me, look around. Sorry, I've moved, Joe. Am I still in?
Yeah.
That one's
Yeah, I'm just
just
taking a
her.
look.
Yeah, okay.
Your hands are going to be flying in front of the camera, though, because I know you like to move your hands.
I so do
Okay,
I, so it's
so
okay.
it's fine. All right, then I think we're ready to go.
Yep.
Cool. Eurasia Haswell, welcome back to the Super Sports Schools podcast. It's
Thank you,
great to have
Alex.
you back. We're here at Chilton Park Sports Club, where I think we interviewed Matteo Horsted last year.
Yes.
It's where I first met you and then found out a bit more about you. And then we've had you on the podcast to talk about girls' football in KZN. And now you're back. And today we're going to be talking about some more of the involvement that you've had with Super Sports Schools. But I think just to start off, to introduce yourself, and then we'll go into a bit of the things that you've done in girls' sport.
Okay, so like you said, I'm Eurasia Haswell. I'm a KZN girl, so I've lived here all my life. Studied, went to school in Pietermaritzburg, studied in Pietermaritzburg, and then now live in Westville in Chilton. I've played sport my whole life. I was very privileged to be brought up in a home that encouraged the participation in sports. My sport was netball, so I'm a netball player. I played, at South African schools level way back when. We won't discuss dates. And I played again when I went to UKZN, and then but I've always had a passion for football. My dad was an ardent football lover and supported Man United, and I supported Liverpool, so you can imagine how that went. But so yeah, so I played a bit at varsity, and then I got involved in a local football club called Shamrocks FC, very old football club in the country, and it was based in Pietermaritzburg. Coached a little bit there with my husband Dan. And then one day he was going to write the referee's exam, and he said, "Why don't you write it? You're here." So I wrote the exam. Only one person in the class beat me, which was him, by one mark, and I asked for a remark. But so I did my first referee's exam then, and I reffed a couple games. And that's kind of where my involvement started with the club. It was a community development club. We've always been involved in community development. And as the years progressed, we started a little, this was called Soccer Kids Academy. It was a little academy for, actually for my son, who was 6 at the time. And we didn't approve of any of the coaching methods at any of the clubs. And so we started this program. And then, but my daughter also plays. In fact, she's 20 and at university now and still plays for the university res team. So that's kind of how the progression started. But I've always, having a daughter who only was interested in football, she didn't want to play any other sport at school. We started a program for girls at high school. And it was started by Dan Haswell and Monique Frankson, and they were kind of the forerunners of the program. I was just the passionate mom who kind of helped with the management, etc. And from there, we got some of the girls who'd gone through KZN High School's football, but were working.
Yeah.
And they still wanted to have that involvement, all football players. So they came back and they kind of bolstered the team for experience and kind of helped the younger schoolgirls with coaching and with just learning techniques and passion and all that kind of thing. And program's been going for about 4 years now. But in that program, there were offshoots. About 10 of the girls did their SAFA Level 2 referees licenses. Four of them did their SAFA D diplomas or D licenses. They all coach now either at the club or at schools. And from there, we kind of came up with a project idea for an all-female crew for Super Sports Schools, because the girls go to all the games to support their teams, to watch their teams, to coach their teams. And then I pitched the idea to Super Sports, last year sometime, I said, why not just give us an all-female crew? As part of, I know Supersport's very focused on developing young women and women in general. And that's how the whole thing happened. So
that's how it happened.
Yeah.
It's quite the journey. And we're actually sitting here on the side of the field at Chilton Park,
yeah,
where a game is actually underway. You're telling me,
yes,
off air that it's the under-13s playing.
Yeah.
And
so I'm the chairperson of this club.
And I was going to say, this field sees a lot of action during the week.
It does. Usually, today's a quiet day. There's just this game, and then the ladies are playing at 3. But usually we have games here from under 9, which starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and runs all the way through to 5 o'clock. So Sundays are on the side of the field, cheering on all the kids, because someone will have a brother who plays an under 9 and a brother who plays an under 13. So the parents are here for a good few hours. And often we make it quite social, and the parents will come and we'll braai. And because it's a community club, that's the focus here. Is you have some very talented young players, but then you also have a lot of kids who just play because they love the game. And our focus is to create that safe, happy environment for them. And that's why our coaches and the coaching philosophy and ethos of our club, which is FC Chilton, is very much focused on, community development and just having fun.
Yeah. And it looks like the kids are having fun this morning. You mentioned that your team that's playing there, it's a mix. There's a boys and there's a girl,
yes,
I think, as
yes,
well.
Yes.
Because they are quite young. The girls football in KZN, we've spoken to you about it before, but obviously I think it's the strongest girls football in the country. And to have an all-female crew coming out of women's football and covering not just football, but other matches as well.
Yes.
So let's get into that. You obviously pitched the idea to Supersport schools.
Yeah.
You've got the kits. It's been going for a couple of weeks now.
Yes.
Or a couple of months.
No, it's just a
couple
3 weeks.
Couple of weeks.
First of June. We started our first, I think we did our first gig at the end of July.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's quite new. How many people are involved?
So we have about 7 or 8 girls. I say girls, but to me they're all girls because I'm much older. But some of them are in their 20s, so they're young women. But they range. Like I said, we've got Danielle George, who's a teacher at Westport Boys High, but she also coaches and she plays in our ladies' team. So she's part of the crew. We've got Kezia Emanuel. Kezia is one of the first girls to get a soccer scholarship, actually, to the Sharks Academy. So she's in a final year of sports science and sports management, I think it is. And Nondumiso as well. So these girls are all part of... They're all studying football.
Yeah.
Or, not football. They're all studying sport. And they're all involved in sport in some shape or form.
Yeah.
But more than that, they're passionate about what they do. It's quite funny. You know, when we had to cover the UKZN rugby on Friday, they were Googling how the scores worked. Because we had to now keep track of a try and a conversion and a penalty. And so they were kind of Googling all that information, which was great fun. I mean, one of the youngest member of our crew is Jada Buckley. Jada's only in grade 11, but it has turned out to be a natural on the I don't know, they call it mixing desk, you know, where you kind of mix the cameras, and studies drama at school, so is used to that production, and, you know, so she's quite passionate about it. So they, for people who've just started, they really, really have taken to it very well. It's very professionally done, and they enjoy it.
Well,
I'm not
so
sure how I'd feel about climbing up scaffolding, but they seem to enjoy it.
And if they're enjoying it, I think that means that it's working.
Yes.
And it will be a better product for everyone to watch at home and to enjoy. Talk to me a bit about the learning curve. Obviously, all the equipment, because all these, as you've called them, girls, are coming from a sport background.
Yes.
So they know sport. They understand sport.
Yes.
A lot of them understand football.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are doing this
yeah.
for the first time, the broadcasting, the streaming. So learning, firstly, the equipment, and then we'll talk about other sports.
So I think for them, the benefit is that because they're all young, when I say young, everyone's kind of 30 and under. Mm. Because they're young, they're already tech savvy. So they're not afraid of technology. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think older people, you get a camera and you're scared you're going to press something and delete something or break something. With them, they just want to experiment and they want to just learn. So I think that's been a massive help with the learning of how to use the equipment. But because they're also all high achievers in their own right, so whether it's academically in what they're studying or in their professions or even in their sport, they ensure that they get it right. So they I call them overachievers. I mean, I asked someone to do a manual the other day and I said, of how you create an event. So if you're not at the event, somebody else knows how to do it. And it was so well done. And I said to her, why are you overachieving? And she says, no, it's her CAD skills coming into play. And it was a fantastic manual, yeah. Which, you know, would be great to share with other crews when they have new people join. And for us, the sharing and the knowledge management is really important. So the girls, we have a WhatsApp group and they share everything on that group. So if there's a problem, if they need help with something, I mean, often I will watch it on the app and say, okay, this looks great, or I'm getting a little bit of scaffolding in. And then, but they're they've taken to it very well. They get there early. They're at every setup at least an hour and a half before they're meant to go live, so that any troubleshooting that needs to be done is done. We have a very close relationship with two of the other manned camera teams in KZN, which is Llewellyn and Matt. So often they're on standby for troubleshooting should we need the help. So I think that's been really great as well, is that the super sports schools, is that all the camera crews are like family, and they really share knowledge and help. And I think that's been really good for us. So we don't feel like we're the newbies and we don't know what we're doing. But like I said, I watched the UKZN rugby that they covered, and I was very impressed at the kind of the videography and the angles, because they are sports people and they watch sport.
What
they
you want to see.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the story is always told very nicely. And then one of the things that we are adding into our project is the commentary side.
Yes.
Because, like I said, because the girls know sport and understand sport, we're starting to develop that side of it. So
they can also speak about
correct,
it.
Correct. Yes. So there's two or three of them that have been identified within the crew. And we said, once we get this part under our belt, we'll start.
We've been coming part of the game.
Yeah. We'll kind of include the commentary side as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then some of the other sports that you've covered, you've mentioned rugby. So football, rugby, any others?
So it's winter sports now. So it's kind of mainly the football term, especially in KZN. That's kind of everything that's happening. So we covered the Big Ten, which is the 10 big boys schools in KZN. We did that, which was that the girls were quite good at it. I mean, I literally just kind of, and I always say I'm their Uber, drive them there and they do everything, because that's projects about them, you know, about their development and their skills development. And then we covered a couple of the high school matches that happen. And then we did rugby. I think when the fourth term comes, we'll probably end up doing a bit of basketball, water polo.
Yeah.
But like I said, the girls all kind of coach those sports. Danny is the manager of one of the basketball teams at the high school.
So they can take to it quite easily. And other than you mentioned with the rugby, learning how the scoring
works.
I think
it was also quite a high scoring game, so the girls were like, they had to watch intently, because I think the one score was 72-0, so you can imagine how quickly the scores had to change.
And you need to know, was there a conversion?
Yes.
What did the referee award the try? What's happening?
I suppose that's one good thing about these girls, is that they have good attention to detail and very good focus and concentration. So
they'll know if the try was cancelled after it was given that. And I'd be interested also, because then you get the weird things in rugby, like a penalty try or a drop goal, which you don't see as often, but could happen and cause a bit of chaos.
So.
But no, it's cool. It's cool then that they're learning. You mentioned earlier, right at the start, that your sport was netball that you started with. And something else that was quite cool last year for the World Cup in Cape Town, it was an all-female super sport crew that covered it. So I think definitely there's becoming more of a space. And there's more opportunity there, and you're seeing people from sports coming from sports and keep working in sports.
Yes, and I think when we were growing up, and I say we because I'm much older, but when we were growing up, sport wasn't regarded as a career. So you either became a professional sports person or you were a PE teacher, and that was kind of where sport ended. But now there's so many more opportunities to remain in the game, whatever game that is. So you could be a nutritionist, you could be a biokinetist. I mean, we've got players in our ladies' regional team. You know, one is a biokinetist. So, you know, when she comes onto the field sometimes and there's an injury, she almost like runs over to the player to try and help them. You know, so there's so many other avenues now to remain in sport. And I think with super sports platforms, they also created more avenues and more opportunities. And I think that's what's important, is that what we want to do is, as a club and as a community, is just to let the girls know that there are these opportunities for them to grow and develop. I mean, like I said, Kezia is studying sports management. And when she goes to these tournaments, et cetera, for her, it's also understanding how an event works and how a sports event is managed.
Yes.
And what not to do sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really, I think the opportunity is incredible for them.
And do you think obviously this adds to those opportunities, things you can do after playing professional sports, or even while you're still playing at amateur level, you can do this, which a few of them do. It adds another opportunity, which is so cool. Where would you like to see it go in the next couple of years? Obviously, it's starting out now, one crew, all-female crew for super sports schools in KZN. But obviously, there's lots of opportunity to expand because there's so much content that super sports schools has to cover.
Absolutely. And I think that's also fantastic that there's so much content. I mean, often we'll hear of things happening and then we'll just pop it to super sport and say, this is happening. You know, is anyone wanting to cover it? But I think for me, where I'd like to see it go is, like I said, we've got 7 or 8 ladies, which, and I've got other young women who've shown an interest now because they can see it's taken off. And people are always skeptical at the start, but now they see it's happening. And, you know, so, for example, I would like to see it expand, maybe get another kit. And then so we have 2 crews that can assist on a day. So if there's a tournament, we can cover both fields, hypothetically.
Yes.
But I think a lot of the girls that are coming through are, like, at school and university level. They might go off to Johannesburg to study or Cape Town to study. Then the opportunity comes up to have a crew there.
Yes.
So, like, for example, my daughter and her friends, they've all played here, went through school here, but now they're studying at Tuks. So they're there. You could actually create a crew there because you've got enough person power. I don't want to say manpower. Person power, but also people with the technical skills. So I think these can mushroom up quite nicely and give the opportunity for women to cover women's sport. And as much as we'd like to think that it's all fair and love and war, it's not. There's still vast kind of discrepancies. I mean, and you see it, I think... a couple of the girls mentioned it, you know, even in their schools, the boys' teams get the better kit and the girls' team get the old kit. You know, they bring up stuff like that. I would like to see all of that change where there's this really equal platform. And girls' sport, on, for example, football, is played 4 weeks of the year in third term. It's not enough. That's why we're creating these platforms for the regional leagues where the girls can play the whole year. Mm. If that's what you want to play, you shouldn't have to go play another sport if you don't want to. And with girls' sport, you'll find it's the same group of girls that will play netball in the one term, hockey in the one term, football in the one term.
They'll just play all of them.
Yeah, it's that one group. Yes. They call the golden group, you know. Whereas boys, your depth is much better.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think for me, I'd like to see, and I do think parents need to encourage their daughters to stay in sport. You know, whether it's at school or university level, it's such a good medium for relief of stress, tension, anxiety, especially with young people today. There's so much pressure on them. And, you know, I think parents need to encourage their kids to just keep playing. We do it for our sons. We should do it for our daughters as well.
Absolutely.
But that's where I'd like to see it going, mushrooming up all the place. And fortunately, SuperSport's been very progressive with this. So I think that will be a huge catalyst to get it going.
And then you've been covering these matches for the past couple of weeks. I, as a referee for rugby, always say that that's the best position on the field because you get to see all the action.
Yes.
But I guess also the broadcaster, you get to see everything that's going on as well. So I'm sure you've seen some really cool sport in the past couple of weeks.
Yes. And also, like, I was amazed that they covered chess for one day. My son, who is also a footballer, but he is also a chess player.
Chess player, yeah.
Chess team at school. And I said to him the other day, look, they're covering chess on Super Sports Schools. And he said, well, when's your team going to come and cover one of our tournaments, Mom, you know? So I think that's incredible as well, that there's so much sport and so much culture happening at schools. And Super Sports Schools is just being fantastic in being able to cover all of that. And you're not just sticking to the traditional sports, you know? And I think that makes kids feel very included. And inclusivity is very important now. You know, I want to be me. I want to be an individual. And I think your time to shine speaks to that. You know, it doesn't matter what you're shining in, but that needs to be acknowledged. So I think, we've seen some very interesting stuff, I have to admit. I mean, doing the rugby was a big eye-opener for the girls.
Moments that stand out? Any great goals, great tries?
Yes, there have been some fantastic goals. The one thing that stood out for Friday night was the boy missed the conversion 3 times but hit a car all 3 times. You know, so, and the commentator actually mentioned that. He says, this guy's missed the balls, but he's managed to hit that same bucky 3 times, you know.
So, wow. Very accurate in missing.
Very accurate, yeah. But I'm saying, so there's been some fantastic goals and we've been privileged enough to witness some very, very fantastic football and rugby. So it's been good. And I can't wait to do different sports. I think the girls are quite excited to do the likes of a netball game or a water polo game or hockey game, you know, stuff that's that's different. And I think FISTM will provide that opportunity.
New learning experiences, the new sports to know what you're supposed to cover when and what you need to be looking at.
Yeah.
So it's going to be exciting as it continues to grow.
Absolutely. And
I think more girls get involved as
well? Yes, definitely. Yeah. I think these girls that are involved are very much influencers in their circles.
Okay.
So I think that will largely affect it as well, where they would want to get involved. And, you know, we've taken our crew and we've divided it. So we have Tanya, who's kind of an expert in the equipment side of things. You know, she's very electrically minded and stuff like that. So we have that person who kind of focuses on that. And then you've got the girls who are experts on the videography side of it. Yeah. So, you know, Shay, Karen and non-team seem to quite be good at that. But then you've got your Jada and Danny who like the board. So, you know, we try to say be an expert at something, but still know everything in case someone is not available. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone has to know everything, but then at least people are also kind of focused a little bit, which helps because then you become, you can offer a better product at the end of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I think the one thing that it has forced them to learn is problem solving on the spot, which it's very difficult to teach, but you can only learn that when you're doing. And it's called problem solving. Every single time we've had an event, there's been something that has required someone to problem solve. And it's been really good to watch them come together,
find
the solution,
solving.
And run with it. Yeah, I'd still be able to kick off on time.
And that's such a valuable skill to have in whatever career you might go into, even if it's not in sport.
Absolutely.
Problem solving is fantastic. Yeah. So it's cool to hear that they've been learning and fantastic experience, it sounds like, for everybody involved. So that's just great. And we're excited to see all the content that continues to come out of the crew. We're going to go now to the quiz, before we wrap up.
If we must.
I can't remember if you did the quiz last time we had you on.
I didn't.
So you got to watch clubhouse.
Yes, I got Mateo.
When we did Mateo's quiz.
I didn't know all the answers for Mateo's quiz. I'd like to do that quiz.
Well, I'm afraid it's a different quiz. Let me just get it quickly. So if you remember the rules of the quiz, how the game works, 60 seconds to answer as many questions correctly as you can in those 60 seconds. High score of this season is 8. Both Bridget Key of Supersport Schools and Nicholas Holden from ACGL Esports, our esports side of things, they both had 8 this season.
Okay.
Average has been around 4 or 5.
Okay.
So I think I've been setting harder questions.
Clearly. Now it caused great anxiety in me. Alex, I should have said.
Do you want to set a goal? That could be worse if you set a goal. So let's don't set a goal. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Are you ready? Okay, your time starts now. True or false? South African 4x100 meter silver medalist Bayanda Walaza is in matric.
True.
That's correct. Who won South Africa's only gold medal at the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris?
Tatiana Smit.
Correct. In cricket, how many penalty runs are awarded if the ball strikes the keeper's helmet on the ground?
6. 5.
Yep, that's correct. I'll accept it. True or false? The Netball World Cup hosted in Cape Town last year was broadcast by an all-female crew.
True.
That's correct. Which South African UFC fighter defeated Israel Adesanya by submission in Australia recently?
Bekus.
Yep, that's correct. True or false? Paul Roos's first 15 victory over Grey College recently was the second biggest defeat in college's history?
True.
It's false. It was the biggest. What is the name of the Supersport Schools TV show that discusses all things youth football?
The podcast.
No, football on 216. Which of the following apparatus is not used in women's gymnastics? Pommel horse or balance beam?
Pommel horse.
Correct. True or false, the 2019 Cricket World Cup was the first to be won on boundaries?
True.
That's correct. I need to add that up. Did you keep count?
No, I didn't keep
count. Okay, let me add up. She got true, Tatiana. 5. True. Drikus. Pommel horse. And true. 7. So our second highest score of the season. No, well done. Was that better or worse than you thought it was going to go?
It was better.
Yeah, so happy. Happy with that. Awesome.
I must brush up on my Paul Roos history next time.
That was a very, it literally, as we record this, it happened yesterday.
That's why I didn't know. See, I was busy at watching college play Westfall.
Yeah, so that it was 30-something 3, which is the biggest defeat in Grey College's history. It was quite a thrashing.
Quite a thing.
Yeah.
Did they play at Grey?
Played down in the Western Cave of Porus, yeah. But Eurasia, thanks so much. Just to end off, a message to girls out there who are playing sport at school, they're still young, and might not have thought before listening to this, but hopefully they do now, that they could have a career in sport outside of just playing it.
My message to them is, A, keep playing firstly at school. Secondly, there's so many opportunities in sport. You don't have to keep playing it. So you can coach it, you can be an umpire slash referee, you can be an analyst, because video analysis is huge at the moment.
Yep.
You know, you can be an agent, you can stay on as a club chairperson and make sure other people enjoy the sport that you love. So my advice to them is just to continue on this path of enjoying being in sport, because that's the most important thing. I think the enjoyment of it, we've lost along the way because of the anxiety and the stress and the pressure associated with it. And they should still keep doing it just for the love of it.
Amazing. Eurasia, thanks so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Cool.
Oh, I'm disappointed I didn't tie for 8, guys. I'm so competitive.
I was going to get the drinks. That actually happened this morning.
The drinkers one happened this morning, and you got it.
Yes, I know. I